You know, occasionally on this program, we will seek your view of events that we may be seeing in the news, wondering if there might be a pattern or an underlying passion that people might be feeling. And regularly, your reactions surprise and guide us to seek a broader conversation. And such was the case yesterday when, in response to the story of a police shooting down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the turmoil and protest it has created in that community, we asked, how much or how little do you trust the police? We received an enormous number of responses. Nothing scientific about that, and nothing to argue with some national numbers from the Gallup organization that show that for the past 20 years, the police have enjoyed a high level of trust. 57% in last year's survey expressed a great deal or quite a lot of trust in the police. But in the reactions from you, we realize that all trust of law enforcement, like all politics in that famous phrase, is local. So we reached out to Norm Stamper, a former Seattle police chief who is now an outspoken civilian advocate for police reform. Welcome back to The Takeaway, Norm.
It's good to be with you.
So all law enforcement trust is pretty local. It really depends on who it is you're looking at any given moment in a community, right?
Yeah, there are up to 20,000 law enforcement agencies in this country, and any given day, in the wake of any given event, you're going to see those trust levels fluctuating from one community to another, across state lines, throughout the country.
Let me give you a smattering of responses that we got yesterday. Park City, Utah, I trust the police because I want to trust them. I believe my feelings would be different if I was a person of color or a lower socioeconomic status person. Or Austin, Texas, I guess I trust them implicitly, and perhaps that's not very wise. Here's something a little bit more negative. Listen to this listener here.
I think we all have moments with the police, and no, I don't trust them at all, but there is a lot of favoritism, and what they try to cover up for one, okay, they imprison the other one for it. So we all know it happens. It's just there. It's like a fact of life.
Now, I don't want you to respond to Erin, and she's from New Jersey. I don't want you to respond to her particular accusation there, but when you hear stuff like that, what is the responsibility of law enforcement to either jump in and correct the situation or, you know, what do you think that means?
Well, the first responsibility, as I see it, is to listen to Erin and every other person out there who mistrusts or distrusts the police and to listen without defensiveness. I think people are expressing honest, heartfelt opinions, many of them shaped by media coverage of a particular event, some of them by personal experience or the even vicarious personal experience through family members or friends. And so I think the first order of business is for the police to listen to that, take it in, and understand that while many blindly support the police, there are some, if not many, who have very serious reservations or animosity toward the police.
Let me give you an example of someone who is actually from your neck of the woods, who gave us one of these personal experiences that seems to have had an impact, perhaps a permanent impact, on his whole orientation towards law enforcement. Listen.
Hi, this is Michael from Seattle. About 5 years ago, when I was robbed at gunpoint, I didn't feel safe until the police arrived and really put my trust in police. However, when I was arrested and other interactions with the police, I did not trust them, not one bit. They lied in court. They lied to my face. It's a love and hate relationship that I have.
Now, what do you think of that story? A love and hate relationship there, Norm?
Well, I think that caller pretty much nails it. When you want and need the police, there's no more comforting a presence than that black and white, or in the case of Seattle or New York or a variety of other cities, that blue and white showing up. Stepping out of that conspicuously marked automobile would be a uniformed police officer who is authorized and trained to help people in times of need. I think of police dealing with individuals who are oftentimes not at their best. So the first order of business, I think, is to somehow not simply persuade police officers, but train police officers to look for signs of individuals who are under the influence of a mind or mood altering substance, under the influence of mental illness, under the influence of normal human emotions in, for example, domestic dispute situations, which often turn violent. So we get police officers to recognize that is a normal condition for them. I think policing demands a partnership, an authentic partnership between police officers and the communities they serve. I think of a 50-50 proposition. In other words, if you and I are partners and you do something significant without consulting with me, without sharing your reasons for doing it, we're gonna have a very strained partnership. Now, it needs to be said, if a police officer is experiencing what he or she sees as a life-threatening situation, we don't hold a seminar on that. We don't join hands and sing kumbaya. What we do is cultivate the strongest possible relationship and partnership between those events so that when they happen, it might be police use of lethal force. It might be a WTO protest or an Occupy protest.
And you had direct experience with those kinds of protests there in Seattle. Before you go, why don't you assess the partnership challenges for the people of Albuquerque who are going to have to deal with the consequences of the use of lethal force?
Well, you have both police officers and the citizens of Albuquerque who read the papers, watch television, view those YouTubes, see incidents over and over and over again. And that can produce entrenchment within the police culture. It can produce entrenchment within the ranks of critics. What has to happen is somehow forging common ground and doing a whole lot of listening and exhibiting the kind of respect that's necessary for any healthy partnership.
Norm Stamper has been helping us with all of your responses to the question of how much do you trust the police in your own community. He's a former Seattle police chief in 1999 when the World Trade Organization protesters clashed with police on the streets of Seattle. Norm, thanks so much.
It was my pleasure.
What's your take? Leave a comment at thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.